You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening. All right, starting off with a beep. This is The Drive Home with Casey, Blair, and Augie. And today is July 1st, 2019. And this is The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, which I think I already said once. But we saw Toy Story 4. All right, unleash the gamut.
Well, it was just unnecessary.
Yes, completely unnecessary. This felt like Finding Dory to me.
It's better than Finding Dory. Finding Dory had, like, plot holes.
So did this one.
What were the plot holes?
Like, I'll have to think about them, but there was a couple things about, like, the logic of the toys and everything that just, like, they broke a couple of their rules. It felt like all over the place. Huh. Like, they were established, like, toys can't interfere in people's lives. No, these toys do actually do that. They completely do that.
It was like Finding Dory in the sense that the toys drove somebody's car. Just like the fish drove a car in Finding Dory.
Yeah, no, it was exactly like Finding Dory. It was like, it's...
No, let's start again and pull for the boss.
What?
Exactly. He's
and
got to...
Poke the poo.
Poke the poos.
What there did you think of the movie, Augie?
It was poop.
What was your favorite part? Those aren't words, baby.
Well, why don't we actually talk about the movie before people get really bored? He's just gonna talk on ramble. He's not gonna make up any words that are making any sense.
This is my followers.
See, told you. Anyway, Augie, all right. We're talking, and I don't think that it's. I don't think you're using appropriate words for the car. Can you stop? Thank you. The movie did not look good to me. I felt like the photorealistic look that they took with the toys was like, felt wrong.
Oh, I felt like it was just like another, it's just where they had come. You know, the animation has gotten to this point. It's where it, this is where the animation would have been if they could have been at this point in 95.
While I would agree with that, I disagree in the fact that it completely changes the style of the movie. All of a sudden now, the photorealistic dolls that everyone has completely changed the perspective of all the things that are going on inside their world. Augie, I'm not going to say it again. Like, it now feels like these are actual literal toys that are alive. And there's a lot that you kind of lose with that.
I don't understand.
Well, it's hard. I'm having a hard time explaining it while he keeps on, like, interrupting.
I don't know what you'd like me to do about that.
I have no solutions. I'm just telling you that.
Augie, do you have something to say about the movie?
Yeah.
What do you have to say about the movie?
It was poofing into the film. And don't be lost.
Oh.
And then just the cat ate her, and then she was outside, and then she had eaten.
There's a couple things in there that actually made sense.
And then
the kitty cat eating one of the characters, the sidekicks, the lost toys, which is like, okay, so hold on a second. There's my plot hole for you. If a kid can give you life, what can take it away for a toy then? Because it seems like if a kid doesn't play with you, then the magic of being alive as a toy should go away in some ways as well. Because then everything would then be alive in this world.
Seems like it's just that if you have a face.
Well, no, they rewrote the rule. They said you are alive if you have the name of a child written on the bottom of your foot.
No, they said that's if you're really special.
No, but that's the rule they seem to reestablish in this, is that if you have a name on the bottom of your foot, that means you can technically be alive in this world.
They didn't say that.
They kind of did.
No, they said then, they said, I see you have a name on the bottom of your foot. That means you're really special.
Yes, but really special in their world means animate. Because they made it seem like the only reason that this Sporky would be animate at all is if Bonnie put the name underneath it. So Bonnie gave the toy life. So what then takes away the toy's life if it's not, if it's given by a child, what then will it take it away? Not a child. So it's not really the source of the magic.
I think you're not supposed to think too hard about that part.
That's the problem with this movie is once you've got to this point, they did actually start to ask that question. Why are we alive? Was the question that they asked at the end. What's your inner voice? I mean, they started to dive into the philosophical side of the characters to the degree of the toy's own sentience and consciousness. So if they're going to go that route, you're going to ask these questions.
To make jokes out of them, to be like, yeah, there's not really an answer. It's just what it is.
See, I disagree with that in a lot of ways. I think that all in all, I felt like that this story was directionless. It like was just felt like...
It did feel like that, especially when they spent so much time on those stupid cutaways.
Mm-hmm.
The fluffed... Stuffed toys.
Yeah, no, the cutaways with the fluff toys, this is like, this right here felt like the Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
This right here felt like the Pixar is copying someone else's comedy style, like the wisecracking bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, well, this is life, Secret Life of Pets all the way. Their political commentating about the crying girl and the toy being to go and get her.
What was that commentary?
Children of the Border.
How?
You don't think that's a commentary in that?
No, how?
About the lost child?
No.
Okay. I felt like that was a commentary from Pixar. Given the child was wearing an orange shirt with the sunshine on it, it felt very like California-esque, and I was like, oh, this is, because I was specifically the movie was so not charming in many ways that I was watching things outside of the spectrum of the characters, and that was one of them, was like why is it that they chose that?
It was weird that they had to write into the history. Oh yeah, at one point
Bonnie got
at one point Woody was willing to actually leave Andy for Bo.
Yeah, they rewrote that history.
Yeah, which was like so not his character.
No.
But they needed to write that in to make his future.
And they did it in a toy rescue again. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, like, regurgitating themes is fine. Stop. You gotta let them go.
I thought they were crossing the other way.
No. They seem to, like, not understand their own movies that they made prior. Or that, like, they decided that this is the new generation of Toy Story that they wanted to do. And it felt very disingenuous. It felt like, is this the same Toy Stories that we saw previously? Now, I get that you have these characters, they're growing up, and these toys have to figure out their new place in the world. But, like, they cut out Woody's voice box.
Yeah.
Like, it's very gruesome to me, and I felt very uncomfortable. The dummies?
The dummies were terrifying.
I thought the dummies were a bad choice. I thought the Christina Hendricks voice doll was just like...
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah. So much of this movie I thought was not well placed. Like, it really did feel like, why are we even telling the story besides we want to sell more merchandise and we have to tell another story?
Yeah, it just didn't feel like we needed it.
We didn't need it at all, and the story droned on. I got kind of bored a while there. I mean, it looked beautiful. Everything looked so good rendered, but interestingly enough, there was like shifted photography where there was like tilt shifts where certain aspects of the frame were focused, some of them weren't. Yeah, it was kind of.
They didn't know it, the story, like the best, like Toy Story 1, for example, was about Buzz and Woody, right?
Yeah.
This was like about lots of things.
Yes, this was about like.
It's like they didn't have enough story and they just kept adding.
Yeah.
Because the story was too flat or too. It was like.
It was uninteresting. Like all the add-on characters, like the Canadian guy. I'm sorry, that was kind of uninteresting.
It's almost like it was a short that they had to stretch out.
Yeah. Like
Bonnie brought home a spork, everybody, and he came to life. And
yeah, and like
that's all
once
it needed to be.
Once Woody convinced that spork to like.
Be alive.
Then it was just a MacGuffin the whole time. The spork was a MacGuffin the entire movie instead of it actually being a character. So once they walk on down that road, they completely change everything.
Then the movie's over.
Yeah, this movie's sloppy. It's a sloppy, sloppy Pixar. I put it on par with Finding Dory. Just paint by numbers, Pixar. But you know,
I think it's better than Finding Dory. But
yeah, I wouldn't give it that much credit. I think it's on par. I think that just becomes that certain level of movie that's like enjoyable but forgettable.
But it's definitely the worst Toy Story.
Oh yeah, by far and away, probably the worst. It's actually one of the lower end Pixar's, and I actually don't like what it does with the characters at all. If I could cut it from canon, I would. And that's Toy Story 4.